From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Welcome to a Thanksgiving edition of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sarah Lamerson. Sarah, are you ready for some... Oh, wait. You're a vegetarian. You're not going to eat turkey this week.
I will eat faux turkey.
All right. Is it tofurkey? Do you do the tofu?
It's some version of that. Yes.
All right. Good. Well, we will talk more about Thanksgiving in a little bit because we have bigger fish to fry on the show today. Big news came out this morning. Paul McBeth announced that he is going to be... I guess Paul McBeth didn't announce it. A lot of people announced it. Paul McBeth is going to be playing for Discraft next season, and we've got the first podcast interview with him since the announcement. So we are going to get right into that, and then Sarah and I will come back and break it all down for you. So without further ado, here is Paul McBeth talking Discraft on PDGA Radio. Welcome back to the show. Four-time PDGA World Champion, two-time United States Disc Golf Champion, Paul McBeth. And Paul, big news came out today. You are now playing for Team Discraft. Congratulations on the move. How are you, first easy question out of the gate, how are you feeling about everything now that the announcement's out there?
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me. I feel great. I'm really excited. It's always a challenge to throw new discs, whether you're with the company and a new disc comes out or you're throwing a whole new company's disc. So it's an exciting challenge that I'm looking forward to, and everything's great on this end.
I've seen that you've signed, it's a 4-year deal. Is there any trepidation at all? I mean, you go from being with Innova for 12 years to now having to learn a brand new bag, brand new company, and straight out of the gates, you're in it for 4 years. Do you have any nerves there?
No nerves, none at all. I've had a few weeks to try the new stuff, and I've been up to Discraft to see what everything's about up there, and I'm really excited and looking forward to that part. But as far as with the deal, the 4-year deal, I think that's kind of going to be the new regular multi-year. When I was with Innova, the only time I had a multi-year deal was my last deal, and it was for 3 years. Everything else was year to year. So there's really, as a player, there's not much security. And as a business, I feel like there's not much as well, because, you know, you market a player and you do all this marketing and you're ready to do marketing the next year. Kind of feels scary. I mean, if I was in that position, I'd be worried that some might not come back year to year. So I think this will be a new regular for a lot of players.
I think you're right. I mean, we've started to see it already. You saw Nate Sexton signed a 3-year deal, Simon Lazat 5 years, Paige Pierce 3 years. So it's definitely starting to roll out that way. Now I'm seeing an article on Ulti World Disc Golf. It says sources tell Ulti World Disc Golf the contract is worth over $1 million guaranteed, believed to be the largest player contract in the history of the sport. And McBeth will also get his own line of discs with sales incentives. Now that it, can you confirm or lend any credence to that report?
That is all true. Okay. I don't know what sources there is. I would assume very solid, because those are all, you know, spot on. So, yeah. But as far as, you know, discs and timelines and stuff like that, there is not a solid timeline on my end that I know of. You know, they're going to release it when they're ready. But designs of new discs and all that fun stuff was done already, especially over the weekend when I signed the deal up in Michigan.
So what we're talking about here is not, I think, like, some people think this is just, like, some Discraft discs with Paul McBeth signatures on them, like a Paul McBeth signature force. We're talking about something entirely new as well, right? Like, am I understanding that right? Like, your own branded line of molds?
Yeah. I mean, what you said, both of those are right. You know, I'll have some discs with Discraft, and I'll have some discs made through Discraft, so you were right on both ends.
Okay, so, I mean, have you started thinking about the branding aspect of that? Like, is it just going to be your name? Have you not gone that far down the road yet?
We're in talks with all that. I don't know if we're sold on a name yet or how it's going to be branded and marketed. I think we still need to establish our relationship and our partnership in that end, because it is still so new. So I wouldn't be surprised if that all gets revealed here in the coming weeks or months. So that's on my end, that's the ultimate goal, is I'd love some discs with my name on it and my company. But you know, we still got to establish that relationship. So yeah, it's still up in the air exactly when and how it'll be branded.
Okay. You know, before we go too much further into the new deal with Discraft, you know, let's talk a little bit more about Innova. You're with them for more than a decade, won 4 world titles, numerous other accolades. You know, you're kind of synonymous with Innova. You go to a big box store and your face is on their displays. You know, there's that one of the more famous commercials on that comes on live coverage where you're talking about how you don't see yourself throwing anything else. You know, so I guess what happened? Why make this move? Why leave the company you've been with for so long?
Yeah, I mean, if you reference that commercial, what is that? That was like 8 or 7 years ago.
Sure, I'm sure it's a little bit older, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure if you ask a lot of people what they were doing and what they thought they'd be doing in 7 or 8 years, it'd be a little bit different than what they said back then. But I think, you know, a lot of what is in that commercial or ad or whatever it is true. I mean, if it weren't for Innova, I don't think I would have found disc golf, because where I'm from, that's all there is. I'm an hour from where Innova is located, or at least where their main headquarters used to be and all that stuff, Rancho, and wherever they are, Ontario now. Yeah, I mean, I grew up an hour from there. So the heavy influence of Innova kind of helped me discover disc golf. So that, yeah, that's that part of the question. And what was the second part of your question again?
You know, why leave the company? Why move on from Innova?
Oh, I mean, there's multiple reasons. You know, first I'll say like my tour series discs and such like that. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, we're supposed to have a lot of say in our discs, and things just weren't working out on that aspect. And there's just a lot of things I don't think need to be said that kind of went on. But I just think it kind of, with a relationship that's lasted that long, it's kind of dwindled apart, even though it wasn't made public. You know, everything seems like a fairy tale. But yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of hiccups along the way and kind of just time for a change, you know, ready to stop going along the same path and kind of find someone who has the same vision, same kind of aspirations to push disc golf forward rather than just kind of sustaining the growth that they have.
What do you see specifically that Discraft is planning on doing? I would imagine that's probably was a large part of their pitch to get you to come on board. You know, I mean, they haven't necessarily made as many big splashes in the last few years as some other companies. So what is it that you see that has you convinced that they're going to take that next step and they have that vision?
I think opportunity. I see it as a big opportunity. The people they got in charge now, I think, is a younger breed of people. You know, they've always been run by the same people for so long, and I think they have, I don't want to say the new blood, but you know, that's basically what it comes down to is they got the new blood, they got the new vision, and they're willing to take more risks than the former people in charge, or it could just be the same people ready for a change.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they're ready to make a move, and I'm ready to do that. I mean, I'm only 28 years old, so I still have a long time in this sport on the competitive level. So I'm ready to build this partnership and build the sport and continue pushing it forward.
Did you, I mean, now I think Discraft and I think, you know, Nate Doss.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think he's been their elite player for so long. Did you talk to Nate at all about this, or did you have to kind of like get his blessing or anything like that? Was there any part of that as part of the nuance to this deal?
I don't think I had to get his blessing, but Nate reached out to me when he got, you know, he kind of heard rumor and got word. He reached out to me, and he's very protective of Discraft. And after going to their headquarters and meeting all their employees, their owners, their, you know, their CEO and all sorts of people, It is very family based. Like, it's like when you hear like disc golf is family, they literally have families working at Discraft. So I could see why he was so protective. And kind of he had the same questions that a lot of people, like, it just doesn't sound like right. Like, why is Paul thinking about moving, and then moving to Discraft? And then when I talked to him, he kind of was like, all right, I see it, and I'm excited to see where this goes. So I did get his blessing, and that's a big deal, someone that's been so synonymous with Discraft and just a company in general, like Nate. It's incredible blessing to have.
Oh, what's I think back to earlier this year, and there was kind of a, at least for the disc golf world, there was kind of a big splash in Sam Hassel and the DGI Group, or now they're called the DG Group, as some little naming scenarios went on there.
DGI Group,
Are they DGI? I don't know. I was told they were gonna have to change it. Either way,
I'm sure you can't take a acronym, I believe is the term.
there
So,
you go.
yeah.
All right, so DGI Group comes in, and they're gonna work with players and even a couple tournaments and Jomez Productions and everything to try and get some new deals from outside the sport and everything like that. I saw a lot of people online kind of asking if they had any role in this move. So was there any part of your work with the DGI Group going on here with moving to Discraft?
Yeah, so I mean, I have a lot I can say on that. They definitely did have a big role in it. The first thing is when even talk when I knew I mean I knew my contract was coming to an end, and I kind of let Sam know that, like, hey Sam, like, my contract ends this year. Is there a way that we can kind of like talk to Innova about not just not getting more money, like, obviously when you do a new deal, more money's gonna come, but more like, hey, like, let's get things going. Like, it's kind of been stale the last few years. I don't feel like I've been promoted as I should. 2016, I took top three at every tournament but one, and then I had to fall out of one. But everyone thinks that was like my worst year ever. It's like, so I just, anyways, I feel like there was a lot of missed marketing opportunities and things like that. So Sam kind of stepped in, and when he heard that Discraft was, knocking on the door and kind of wanted to put an offer, I said, yeah, let's entertain it. Let's hear. And I've known, like, Nate Heinold was a big influence too. I've known Nate for years, usually stay at his house for that tournament, but he's always kind of like, hey, when are you gonna come to Discraft? Like, we'd be great. And I've always just told him, I'm under contract, there's nowhere I'm going. And then finally this year I was like, well, it ends this year, so what do you have to say? What's your pitch? And I didn't want to. I was talking to Jonathan Poole, and just letting him know, hey JP, Discraft's, going to come at me with an offer. I just want to talk to you and let you know. I think it's good, when other companies are offering players, because it kind of starts a competition, and that's what we're out here doing. This is a competition, and I think companies should be competing for players just as much as we should be competing for wins. So, I didn't want to get in the way and kind of interfere with Innova, and just by talking to Discraft, me personally. So that's where Sam kind of stepped in. He did all the negotiating with Discraft and talking to them and getting things settled, kind of where it's both sides are happy. So he did all that. He made it easy for me to not have to, represent myself, because that's one of the hardest things. And I talk to a lot of players. It's hard to talk about yourself and say what you're worth and, kind of just do all that without sounding like you're bragging or cocky or, all those other terms. So having an agent really, really makes it easy in these situations, because you have someone else talking for you rather than you
Sure.
doing that. So he did all the talking with Discraft up at the beginning, and then towards the end, once I was, very comfortable talking to Discraft and talked to Innova. Innova doesn't want to talk to agents, so that was kind of hard. So I kind of had to sit there and wait. It was a long process, but yeah. So it was pretty difficult with Innova not talking to Sam and me having to do all that. So,
Now, what's some of the reaction been like from maybe your teammates at Innova before, you know, people you've traveled with. I think of someone like Nate Sexton, for example, who you toured frequently with, and he's still signed to Innova and stuff like that. I mean, have people been supportive generally, or has it been a little mixed from some of the other players?
I have not gotten any negative from any player, so that is, you know, that probably speaks for itself. But someone like Nate was actually excited. You know, he was happy for me that I'm happy, and you know, also on his end, he's like, well, Innova's got more money for me, and I need a new deal. So, you know, it was one of those situations where it benefited him as well, on not only a financial aspect, but now he's team captain. He's, you know, he's responsible for a lot more than just a player, which I think comes at a good time, especially with hearing all this Disc Golf Pro Tour stuff going on. So now he's got another income besides commentating.
We'll get to that. Don't, you're putting the cart before the horse now. I mean, yeah, do you feel like this is, like, do you feel like you're having an impact on the sport as a whole with this? Because that's kind of what it feels like to someone who's been following along with this. Like, you can kind of piece some things together and see some of these other dominoes falling. Is that kind of, did that go into part of your thinking with this? Did you think, hey, I can make a big impact on professional disc golf as a whole by doing something like this?
Well, yeah, again, on that trying to sound humble and all that stuff, I feel like anything I do in this sport now is, you know, it's got to be in the mindset of this can impact the whole sport. And this deal, I feel like, is in that same category, because if I didn't, you know, go to Discraft, would Ricky be leaving Latitude going somewhere else? Would, you know, Sexton be signing his new 3-year deal? Would, you know, all these other players? So I feel like it does, but I feel like it does have a pretty big impact on the sport, and the future of the sport. I mean, I think this is going to be the norm, you know, the norm now. So, you know, the future players are going to be signing deals like this, and for it to be the first, as far as I know, the first deal over $1 million is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's very significant. My question I wanted to ask you before: were there any other suitors? Did any other teams try and come after you?
I got a text from Jeremy Rusko, you know, with Dynamic Disc, telling me that Latitude and DD are looking, you know, they have money to spend. So I told him I already knew where I was going. I didn't want to, you know, start negotiating, but he said, you know, we'd like to jump into the mix if possible, but I didn't want to go down another road and kind of have a three horse bidding war, if that's what it would have come down to.
Gotcha.
I wanted to choose where I was going.
I don't know. I mean, obviously you've been at the top of the sport for some time now. But this has got to be kind of a different feeling for you in terms of just the newness of it all. Like, I don't know. It sounds exciting. Was it exciting? Was it nerve-wracking to go through this whole process? Or was it, were you just trying to keep a level head and go about it in like a business-like fashion?
I mean, there's been days where up until I went to Discraft, I should say, until I went to their headquarters and finally signed the deal, there was moments where I was second guessing it. And I was like, is this really what I should do? Is this the right choice? This is after Innova had already announced that I won't be going with them, because we kind of had a deal in place that just hadn't been signed. It was just figuring out the details.
Sure.
You know, there were moments where I was second guessing it, kind of like, is this really going to work? You know, is it possible to really have all these things come together? And you know, it sounds so great. And once I went there, all that was gone. You know, once I got to, you know, meet Bob and Mike and their employees and all that stuff, it was just like, it was such a welcoming feeling. Like, not, this is a knock at Innova, but it's hard to get that feeling at Innova because there's so many players that they almost have to do that with everyone. So yeah, it was such a welcoming feeling once I got there and met everyone and signed everything. And yeah.
Now, I mean, we're 18 minutes into this interview and we haven't even talked about what you're going to throw. I mean, so have you really had a chance to, I mean, obviously people think of you, they think rocks, they think Novas and AVRs and Destroyers and T-Birds or T-Bird 3s, whichever one you're flip-flopping back and forth between. I mean, like what's going to be making up your bag right now? I know we're in the early stage of the game, but I'm sure you've had a chance to toy with that.
Yeah, so when does this interview drop? Let me know.
Oh, it'll drop in the next it'll drop by Monday night, Tuesday morning.
Oh, so tonight or tomorrow?
Oh yeah, we're coming out quick, man.
Oh, okay. So there'll be some of those answers, or you'll have some of those answers probably right after this comes out.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not going to say my bag is secure. It's a big mixing process, and Discraft and I know that, so we're going to continue to work forward, or continue working on moving forward with that and figuring out exactly what I'll be throwing. But some of the slots are already figured out. But then there's other ones where, I mean, going to a new company such as Discraft and finding out they have 80 different molds, or like 70 in production, and then all sorts of plastic, and knowing that their plastics are, they all fly like their plastics. Their flight is different. You can have
Sure.
an Undertaker and ESP, and you can have Undertaker and Z, and they fly different, which is, I think, is a great thing, because you can have three of the same discs, but three different flights just by plastic. So,
Does that mean you're throwing an Undertaker?
I am throwing an Undertaker.
I had to get at least one out of you, man.
Yeah, but that's the one that I used in the video, so I can say that.
All right,
That's the
fine.
disc that was used in the release video.
Are you, I guess this is another question. This is more of like a not will you, but can you? Are you allowed under a Discraft contract to throw anything by DGA since they're molded by them?
Yes, if I'd like to, but
Sure.
I don't want to necessarily. I haven't thrown anything DGA, so it's not a knock on DGA.
Well,
I
right.
haven't even tried it. I want to stick to Discraft, in that sense.
Okay. And then, I mean, have you thrown? I had seen some speculation online that way back when, prior to you even being a sponsored player, you had thrown some Discraft. Is that
Yeah,
true?
that's true. Like I threw the Buzz early on in my career, Magnet, and this all came actually after, like, I played my first tournament. My first tournament was 2005 AM Worlds, so I was playing 16 and under, and I cashed. So that, I think, was a big Discraft tournament. So a lot of the script was Discraft. So I picked up a Buzz, I picked up a Magnet, I picked up some things.
Okay.
So I was able to throw it,
You got any of
but.
those sitting around still?
Oh no, none of those. That was way too long ago.
Gotcha.
So I have not. The last time I threw Discraft or any other plastic was actually when the Prodigy was coming around. They were coming after me, and like I said earlier, like the disc or the Innova contracts are 1 year.
Right.
So after I'd played all the tournaments, I was like, well, let me try this stuff just in case this Prodigy thing actually happens. And I tossed around a Wasp, a Buzz, I think a Force. But that was before, like, a lot of their new drivers have come out
I
too,
was gonna say
so
they've released quite a bit more.
yeah.
All right. So obviously, the news on this was kind of floating out there in the ether for a while, and I know you like to hang out on the internet sometimes. So I'm curious, what was the best or most entertaining piece of speculation about the whole situation that you saw? Like, is there anything that really sticks out to you as like, man, that's a good one?
All the memes were, seeing all the memes was pretty funny. And then seeing numbers fly around was really funny. Because it went from, Discraft doesn't have any money to Discraft has ultimate money to
Right.
they're going to pay him $4 million to
I
they're going
think
to
I
pay him,
saw the $4 million one as well.
yeah, they're going to pay him $12 million. So seeing the numbers fly around, because at the end of the day, it's not about, the money. I mean, that would, we're not at that point. I want to have a partnership, and I want to, I'm trying to build a course. I'm trying to have a pro shop. Like, who wants, to support me on in that aspect of just golf? And I'm sure you guys know with Nate Doss, like he's got his brewery now and he's working on that while still being sponsored by Discraft. So I think it's, you know, it goes to show kind of how Discraft is they want you to succeed, not just on the course, but off with your dreams and plans.
Yeah. I my favorite one was that you were actually going to retire and not play anymore.
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
And so that you didn't need to be sponsored.
Yeah.
That one was pretty good. Oh yeah, I enjoyed that one. There were some good ones out there. A lot of wishful thinking that you were gonna sign like a contract with Nike, and throw whatever you want. Lots of things like that.
Yeah, who knows? That could still be right around the corner.
Hey, you never know, right? Are you dropping Easter eggs on us here? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, but I just wanted to.
Do you get a little bit of joy out of making the rumor mill churn? A little bit.
Oh yeah, I mean, I did that lightning bag.
I was gonna say you were trolling everyone with that, right?
Yeah, yeah. The lightning bag. What else is there? There's something else I forgot off the top of my head.
I don't remember either. There's some good little Easter eggs out there. All right, let's. I'm trying to think. I think that's probably covers it about for now until I think of anything else about Discraft to ask you. Unless let me ask you this. So your first term of the year, is it still gonna be Wintertime Open?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know we're a few months away from that. Like, are you nervous at all? Like, I tend to think that you could probably just go out and throw a paper plate and beat most of the people. But like, are you nervous about that? Like getting on the tee box for the first time and having a completely set of different discs in your hand in competition?
I think the nerves of competition will come back stronger than ever, but I don't think it'll be plastic based. I think just because I feel like I'll have more eyes on me, just because of the switch. So it'll be a different nerves rather than the new disc itself.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, you know, what I live for.
I mean, you're betting on yourself big time, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I don't have any nerves making the switch. I think honestly I have more shots than I did before just because of a disc selection standpoint. You know, it's hard to, when you're with the company, it's hard to go back and be like, oh yeah, I want to try this disc from the early 90s. Maybe that'll work. To where when you go to a new company, you want to just try everything.
Sure. All right. So you alluded to some of the media stuff earlier, and I did want to get your take on that. I caveat this with when the shows come out, we still don't know the Disc Golf Pro Tour's plans for their coverage, other than that they will not be doing live coverage of Smashbox, and they more than likely will not have Jomez and Central Coast. They want to bring it all in-house. So,
yeah.
I mean, what's your initial take on that? Obviously, the players in this sport are very close with the media producers. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship there. I know, I mean, like, Jomez was out there filming your reveal video, and I know you guys were doing like some trick shots with Simon Lazat and Brody Smith, things like that. So I mean, what's your initial take on those announcements from the Pro Tour last week?
To me, it wasn't really a surprise. I kind of knew it was coming because of things that were happening last year. Like Disc Golf Pro Tour kind of tried to kick Jomez out at Ledgestone, you know, beforehand, and they were having drama at MVP. So it wasn't a surprise to hear that. I'm not really a fan of it, but, you know, I'm not going to judge until Disc Golf Pro Tour puts their plan out. And when I was with Jomez, it's kind of when we found out about the news of it, when we were filming all the Brody Smith and Simon and reveal video, and they weren't too worried about it. I'm not sure if that's because they're like, we can use this opportunity to do more promos with other people, other companies, so, or if they're just have other plans in mind. So I don't really have a say on it yet. I would have to talk to Jomez further.
Sure.
I would rather talk to Jomez than Steve about his plans, just because he's running a tour rather than just a company.
Now, I've heard and there's been some other speculation that certain players now have built into their contracts that they get bonuses when they're on video coverage, Jomez or Central Coast or whoever be it. Is that the case?
I've heard, like, way back in the day when like photos and articles and stuff like that was kind of a bigger deal, that they would get promotional bonuses due to like being in the magazine and whatever. So it wouldn't surprise me if that moved to video now.
That's nothing in your deal. It wasn't in your deal before.
No.
Okay. Okay. And then I guess my other question is, like, do you see any scenario where potentially, like, players would skip a Pro Tour event if Jomez was filming somewhere else? Like, is that, do you see there being that much of a groundswell of support, or is this another one of those things where it's like, hey, maybe we just need to hold on and see what the Pro Tour has planned?
I can 100% see that happening. If Jomez is going to go film an A-tier the same weekend as Pro Tour, and Jomez has 100,000 subscribers rather than, you know, 10,000 people watching a live broadcast or post, you know,
even if the payout at the Pro Tour event's higher, you think they'd go toward the video coverage?
I mean, long run, the video coverage is worth a lot more than just a few hundred dollars at a tournament.
That is interesting.
You know, I mean, we have to look at it from a business standpoint. You know, the more that we can be visibly seen in a video and share that online on our social medias, as well as Jomez and things like that, like that'll pay us more in the long run than just $200 right then and there.
So yeah, more of a thinking down the road play of your own personal brand and value.
Yeah, and I think that only really affects touring players and things like that. You know, if you're just a regional pro and just showing up to one Pro Tour and not really caring about your brand, then it shouldn't make a difference. But if you're trying to create a brand and sell discs and do things like that, I think the Jomez will be more important. That is if until we know what Steve Dodge's and Disc Golf Pro Tour media plan is.
Right. Well, I mean, so Paul, I'm trying to think of anything else. I think that kind of covers it for me. I want to ask you something just a little more, you know, how's your off season going based? I mean, it sounds like you've been pretty busy, man. It doesn't sound like there's been much of an off season.
No, I mean, it's always busy. I mean, the only difference is I'm in one location for the most part. I mean, I've been gone since my last tournament. I've only been out of Virginia for 8 days, and that was the last 8 days. I just got back yesterday. So now I'm pretty much based here in Virginia. We're working on the course. We're going to be building we have to build a garage, because our house doesn't have one. So we have to build a garage. And then with that garage, we're also going to build a training facility so we can work, you know, not only with ourselves, but other players if they'd like to come visit. So, so friends and some players.
And you've got a lot of new plastic to figure out.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it only took me like 2 weeks to figure it out, you know. And then I have a lot of new discs, new molds to mess with, but I have some that are already locked in. And like I said, you'll probably know after this interview drops.
Awesome, man. I love it. Well, Paul, again, thank you for your time. Appreciate your candor and best of luck. It's going to be exciting to watch this season.
All right. Thanks, Steve. And I'll be listening to this in a few hours, it sounds like.
Sounds good. That was Paul Macbeth, and we'll be back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio. So, Sarah, first reactions to the news. I mean, this is fairly significant news in disc golf for this level of sponsorship, for, you know, the top rated player for the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, my thoughts are that it's really cool that we've gotten to this far in the sport where, like, a lot of other sports and athletes are getting these long-term contracts, salaries that they can depend on for the next few years of their life. I think that probably adds a real safety net to what they're doing day in and day out, and knowing that they don't have to make a putt and pay for a hotel room or eat their next meal, something like that. Obviously that's not how Paul Macbeth has been operating the past few years, doing as successfully as he's been. But it's just really cool to see how much money sponsors and companies are willing to put into the players. And I think it may hopefully motivate some of the players that are right on the brink of maybe deciding whether to go out on tour or make a living out of disc golf. Maybe it'll motivate them a little bit more to get out there knowing that there are real opportunities to do this professionally and make decent money at it. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I think the as exciting as this is for Paul Macbeth and Discraft and anyone who's a fan of this kind of stuff, you know, this free agency feel like we have in mainstream sports, I think, like you mentioned, the other dominoes to fall out of this are just as significant. You've got you know, Nate Sexton announcing a 3-year contract. We talked about Simon Lizotte's 5-year deal the other week. Paige Pierce announced a 3-year extension. I think Paige Bierkes did 2 or 3 years. So you're getting these players with longer term contracts, more security, being able to make their life, you know, a little more stable. And
Stable,
I think Paul made a really good point in his interview. It does bring increased stability for the sponsors as well, because you know, if you're gonna go out and try and build your brand around a player or pump up a player, and you're not sure that they're gonna maybe go look for greener pastures after 1 year, then it's harder to plan. If you've got a player on a contract for 3, 4 years, you can do a lot more to market your brand and that player, and their potential in that period of time. So, I'm really excited. You know, this was one of those things, the news was always kind of bubbling under the surface for a couple weeks. I'm super pumped to see that it's out there now. And then this just means now that this piece of news has come, I mean, we've still got all kinds of other players to talk about. Ricky Wysocki announced that he is going to be seeking a new
Switching it
sponsor.
up.
Yeah, and you know, there's been other rumblings of other players moving around. So there's this is just the very beginning, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that, and I don't think I've tracked this as closely in previous years as I am now, but it's only the middle of November, and there were already rumblings about Macbeth's change in sponsors, what, like a month ago?
Oh,
So
yeah.
the fact that this is already happening, it seems to get earlier and earlier, and this has kind of made other sponsors start making decisions and allowing players to make announcements earlier, it seems like, because in previous years, I feel like announcements were made like after the first of the year or later in December.
Right.
So I feel like Macbeth's announcement has kind of pushed other teams and players to do the same. So
I'll be
kind of
curious to
interesting on that front.
see. I'll be curious to see if we see a shift in length of contract. Maybe these 3-year
Yeah.
contracts aren't 3-year contracts. Maybe they're like 34-month contracts. And so, for
Yeah.
example, let's say Paige Pierce's contract, instead of ending on December 31st, 2021, maybe it ends on Halloween 2021, and she can go
Yeah.
sign with another team, have 2 months of a transition, plus, you know, another month or so, and by the time the new season starts, she's already got her bag dialed in. I
Yeah,
wouldn't be
possibly.
surprised to see some of that happen. Maybe tie it in with the end of the quote unquote tour season a little more, just so players can have time to transition, and it's better for the businesses, I think, long term. So,
Yeah.
a lot
Have
of
you ever gotten
interesting
to
stuff.
see, have I know I haven't, but have you ever gotten to see some of the bigger touring pros' contracts? Has anyone ever shared that with
I
you?
have seen one or two. Yes.
Okay. I would love to be a fly on the wall in
Yeah,
that email
it's
box.
I think they all really vary though, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. There's just I don't think they're really cookie cutter.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I think they're tailored to each player. I'm sure some of the bonus structures are cookie cutter and everything. I didn't see like a
Yeah.
super high top level player or anything, but I've seen a decent level player's
Yeah.
contract. So
Well, there's always reason, especially if you're Paul Macbeth and you're coming from the top of Innova's team, there's obviously lots of negotiations that have to happen,
yeah.
and I'm sure his contract differs from a lot of the other Discraft team members, so
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Let's shift gears a little bit to other news that kind of popped up last week when we didn't have a show. It seems that the news keeps coming when we're off, Sarah. It's kind of interesting. It's
I
more, I
know.
think, that the news just hasn't really been stopping. So the Disc Golf Pro Tour announced last week that They will be trying to bring all of their media production for the 2019 season in-house, which means they will not be. I mean, they were already in-house on the live production. It was already on the Disc Golf Pro Tour YouTube channel, but they even are going so far as to not contract Smashbox for that. It also sounds like they're not going to be having Jomez Productions and Central Coast Disc Golf on board for post-production. I know Steve Dodge has said in various forums that there's an offer out to Jomez to try and get them on board, but from everything I hear, I don't expect that to come to fruition. So it sounds like the Disc Golf Pro Tour, everything that is going to be on the tour is going to be under the Disc Golf Pro Tour's YouTube channel. The reaction to that, wow. Like I Sarah, I don't know how much you were following along with this stuff. I was like, I know that fans and spectators are loyal and to the media teams, but my goodness, some of the vitriol that was being leveled at Steve Dodge
Oh,
for
I'm
making this
sure.
decision, like I was surprised by that level. I think there's been a lot of the hard part I think here is that Steve Dodge, kind of let Smashbox know that he wasn't gonna employ their services anymore. And the Smashbox guys have a podcast, and they weren't just gonna be like, oh, well, we're gonna sit on that news until Steve Dodge announces his
Yeah, I did see them break that,
And
which
so
is
like
interesting.
I think that kind of then the Pro Tour must not have had all of their ducks in a row for their whole plan, because we're another almost week out from that and they still haven't announced their plan. I did talk to Steve Dodge. He is supposed to be bringing the plan out this week. I don't know how much of that will get lost in the holiday shuffle. I hope it doesn't. So I think a lot of the negative sentiment has come from the fact that it was like, all right, we're not going to use these media teams, but also we're not
We
telling
don't
you
know.
what we're doing yet.
I could see that. Yeah, your loyalty, I mean, the loyalty to Jomez is to both Jomez and Smashbox. Like,
And
I
Central
know there's,
Coast.
yeah, for sure. Oh, speaking of which, I played a couple holes with Corey Merle last week
Oh,
in San
nice.
Francisco. That was pretty cool. We ran into each other. But so I love them all. Like, I just want coverage. I'm not too picky about it. And I know there's a lot of people that are Team Terry or Team
Team Jomez or Team
whatever,
Pro
Team
Tour or whatever.
Jomez.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't pick sides. I love them all. But yeah, I just wonder how this transition is going to go, because it's just been so sudden, and there's people that, like you said, are so loyal to those two companies. Like,
Right.
I don't know how alienated people are going to feel, or
Well,
if
I
they're going
would
to.
like people to know that they can still watch Jomez and more than likely at most events Central Coast on the PDGA National Tour,
Exactly.
where we will have those guys come out. Smashbox is a little harder to have them come out to NTs because we don't have cell signal in all of them. But obviously, we're going to do our best to have those guys out. I think really though, I think what we're going to see at least at the beginning of the year is something kind of like the train wreck effect, where it's like people are going to say that they won't watch the memorial because they're gonna quote unquote boycott the Pro Tour because they don't have Jomez and Smashbox. They're gonna tune in to the Memorial because they want to see what kind of product the Pro Tour is gonna put out.
Oh, for
They
sure.
will get at least some curiosity viewership from the beginning. And then if they put out a product that is at the same level or better than what was being produced before, no one will even remember this happened.
Yeah,
I mean,
I could see
really,
that.
if the players are
Hot
there,
take.
if the players are there and the coverage is of decent quality, there will be some people who are upset. But ultimately, like, if people really want to watch disc golf, they're going to go where you can watch disc golf.
Yeah, I agree with that.
On the other hand of that, I think Jomez and Central Coast have made enough of a name for themselves where this doesn't mean, I think a lot of people are worried that, like, oh my gosh, Jomez and Central Coast are going to be out of a job. No way. Look at Central Coast Disc Golf's channel. They record so many tournaments that are not like your standard on the beaten path events.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of impact on some of those events. I was reading on one forum, Ian Anderson, who runs Central Coast Disc Golf, was talking about the Rocky Mountain Championship up in Montana, which no longer exists, unfortunately. The course was shut down, but like the first year he went up there and filmed it, it was a great event. He put it out. People fell in love with it. Some pros came the next year. Third year, it basically sold out in like 2 minutes, sort of thing. And it's like these guys do have an impact on
Yeah.
these lesser known events. So maybe this actually opens the door to some other events to get some coverage who maybe wouldn't have normally gotten it, and who we get to see some more great courses and some more awesome regional players. And then you're going to be battling to see which events get snapped up onto the big tours. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I understand why people are upset. I am very loyal to Jomez and Central Coast. They do a great job. We work with them
Yeah.
all the time. But I'm not exactly ready to like bring out the pitchforks for Steve Dodge until we really see a product. I don't know if we can do that yet.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I'm on the same page.
yeah, either way, it's made for a very interesting offseason. It hasn't felt much like an offseason. A couple other things I wanted to touch on. The Next Generation Disc Golf Tour Championship was over the weekend at Fountain Hills, Arizona. Silas Schultz, who is only 15 years old,
I know.
won a car.
He can't even drive.
Good for him, though.
Yeah.
Because when he can drive, now he's got a car.
Oh my gosh. Well, he's got to pay the
I
taxes on the
loved
car
on the live
first, and then he's
stream
got
how
the
Dave Fellberg straight up just drives up to the 18th green right after the last putt.
car.
That was pretty
Yeah.
baller. I enjoyed the presentation there. So congrats to Silas. Cool to see that the Next Gen Tour is providing like a platform for amateur
Yeah.
players still.
Wait, where's Silas from?
He is from, according to his PDGA page, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
So what do you do? Just like book a one-way flight in hopes that you're going to win and you get to drive the car back? Or his parents get to drive
I'm
the
guessing he probably booked a round trip
car
flight,
back?
and they'll have to
Who
figure out
knows?
some kind of arrangements. That I didn't get a chance to
Depends on
ask
how
that.
confident you are.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure you can have a car shipped, or yeah, you find a
Yeah.
friend. I'm not sure, but either way, I
That's
mean that's
awesome.
cool. He's a young player. I want to say he's sponsored by Discmania,
Yeah, I've heard
already.
his name before.
Yeah. 974 rated. He's only played 37 career events, but he's won 10 of them. That's a
Nice.
pretty good clip. So, congrats to Silas on his victory. Sarah, before we go, did you have a chance to look at the hot rounds that I sent you?
I'm looking at them right now.
All right, perfect. Then I'll tell you what, I will start the hot rounds this
Do
week.
that. Okay.
And kind of, here's what I like about all this, like in our kind of, quote unquote off season here. We're getting some names in the hot rounds who we don't normally see,
Yeah,
which I think is fun.
that was my first thought when I looked at this. Yeah.
So I'm gonna work from bottom up on the MPO side. One,
Okay.
two, three, four. Okay, good. We got five of them. Well, gosh, I'm sitting here talking about how we don't have people who we know, and the first one is Kevin Jones.
Yeah.
Good old Kevin Jones, we love you. There's got to be some news coming from that guy later. Soon, I would think we'll have to get him on the show. But either way, fifth hottest rated round, he shot a 1061 out at the 14th annual Alma Greens. After that, we had Jeremiah Kraus shooting a 1063 at the Pumpkin Bowl. That was his first round, but he put that next to a round in the 900s and ultimately came in fifth. Emerson Keith shot a 1065 rated second round at the
Woof.
Legacy Presents the 28th Veterans Park Open, powered by Kratom? Is that how we say that? I
Sure.
guess. Kratom. Kratom. That's how I would
Right.
say it. Anyway, and Emerson won that event and hit an ace. So yeah, Emerson Keith,
Nice.
what a weekend, dude. Very nice. Coming in at 1067 for our second hottest rounds were Calvin Heimberg at the Broward Disc Golf Open, and Sam Shiley at the odds number 12 Rice Property Group's Duck Golf 36.
I love that name.
That's great.
It's my new.
Calvin won his event and Sam Shiley came in second. And then our hottest round of the weekend from Hayden Kujala, a 1076 rated opening round at the Iowa Cup Finals presented by Kronk Disc Golf. And he ultimately came in second place. What do we got on
Awesome.
the women's side?
We also have some new names. I like your style, starting from the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know
I am
why we
also
haven't done that
going.
before.
I don't know. All right, here we go. So this is a woman I have played with her. It's been a couple of years now, but she's been around for quite a long time, and her name is Chris O'Cleary. Her PGA number is 3024,
Yes.
if that tells you anything. And she shot a 930 rated second round to win the battle at Boomtown in Canton, Georgia. So awesome to see that she's still playing. The next hottest round was Maria Oliva, and she played Legacy Presents, the 28th Veterans Park Open, powered by Crate Ohm. She shot a 935. Let's see, what round was that? Her third round, and she ended up taking second. Congratulations to her. That's a pretty good finish for
Yeah,
her
very
in a
nice.
pretty large field. Yeah. The next hottest round was Itzy Galvin, and she played at the 14th annual Alma Greens. She shot a 936, her second round, to win that. So congratulations to her. I don't think she's made our hot rounds list
No, I don't
either.
think so. I don't recognize her.
Yeah. Welcome to the hot rounds. The next was a name that we all know. Her
Wait,
name
who is
is
that? I've
Elaine.
never heard of this lady.
Her name is Colleen Ing. Just kidding. It's really late here. I'm very tired.
We're getting punchy.
Elaine. Yeah. Her name is Elaine King. We all know her. She needs no introduction. She shot a 965, super hot, her fourth round at the 17th annual Fall Disc Golf Classic in Jacksonville, North Carolina. She shot 10 down overall. Actually, she
Nice.
made a Facebook post about this. She was just about roller coaster golf. She shot four different layouts on the same course, and her ratings were 957, 899, 896, 965.
Wow.
So that sounds a little bit like my golf at times. But she shot 10 down overall, so can't be mad at that. The hottest rated round was very, very hot, was from Paige Pierce. She also played in the 28th annual Veterans Park Open, and she won shooting plus three. Her hot round was her second round with a 986, taking home a whopping $600. So it was pretty good.
It's not bad for an
Pretty good.
off-season move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good week for Paige Pierce. And then she's gonna be
Yeah.
going to Croatia. We're
Yes.
gonna I caught up with her about that a little bit.
Cool.
It's kinda like a
Like a
Euro trip type thing. Like she's gonna
cruise.
get some people on a
Yeah.
bus and
Oh, was it a
drive
bus
around.
or a
Yeah, it's a
cruise?
bus. It's not a cruise.
Okay.
It's
All
like a
right.
bus tour
A
around
cruise
Croatia.
on the street. A cruise through the streets.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's gonna have a couple events there and everything. I
Yeah.
wish I had a website off the top of my head to point people to, but I'm sure if you go find Paige Pierce on the social media, you can find her. And I was gonna try and get a little something up on the PDGA website about that next week because it's just cool. It's
Sure.
kind of a little disc golf
Yeah.
tourism type of thing. So,
Yeah. So she, have you watched the first episode of she and Alyssa Van Lannen's disc golf tourism?
I have not.
It's
No.
really cool. They are highlighting a different city each episode, and the first city was Savannah, Georgia, which is beautiful if you've never been there. Lots of Spanish moss and cobblestone, historical buildings and things. And they're just kind of just like walking around, biking around, going to different
Do they play disc
sites
golf too?
trying. No, that's part of it.
Oh.
It's like they're just tour it, like while they're on tour or during the off season, they're just going to town and they're like, yeah, we're not over only here to play disc golf. Sometimes we're also here to be tourists and
See,
check
I
out
want like that kind of
different
show
cities.
with like the disc golf mixed in too. Be a good Travel
Yeah.
Channel show.
Yeah. Maybe you can give them a recommendation on that.
See if I can get
I
a
don't know, it was
quote.
cool. Yeah, it was cool because it's like, hey, travel with us, like you're a pro disc golfer. It's just kind of
Yeah,
showing
that's
what they do
pretty.
on their off days,
Yeah.
which I thought was neat. And
That is cool.
it's yeah, Alyssa and Paige both do some of the videography. It's just the two of them, so they're kind of like switching off. And it was really cool and artsy, and Alyssa's great at what she does, so it was great quality. So I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have plenty of stuff coming from that trip to Croatia too. It should be a
Yeah,
lot of
that'd
fun.
be cool.
So, all right, Sarah, before we go, it is Thanksgiving week. So I'm gonna put you on the spot. What
Oh, Lord.
are you feeling thankful for on this Thanksgiving?
Oh, man. I am thankful. Ugh. Can I let you go first?
Oh, come on. That's such a cop out.
There's so many things. I'm thankful for so many things.
You just gotta narrow it down. I mean, I'm thankful for a lot of things too. I'm not gonna list all of them.
All right, all right. I guess I'm thankful that I get the opportunity to travel this year. I did a lot more traveling than any other year for actually a lot of things like work, weddings, family, and disc golf. But Sean and I are going to Paris, Kenya, Tanzania, and then back to Kenya
That's
in a
amazing.
couple weeks. And I have not been out of North America since I was 16. And I'm just very much looking forward to this trip and just
You're gonna have to give me some
not.
tips on Paris. We
Ugh.
just booked a trip there for next year.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just totally stoked. I can't wait. So, yeah. What about you? You probably had a lot more time to think about this than I did, obviously.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm tremendously thankful for my family. My wife and my daughter are super supportive of my gallivanting around to go to watch people throw frisbees really far, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm th in that same vein, I'm very thankful for being able to do this. I mean, if you would have told me, I was like a teacher 6 years ago, and then I started staying home with my daughter for a little while, and then started just writing about disc golf on a blog because I enjoyed it. And like, if you would have told me a few years later I'd be able to do it for my job, I would have probably laughed in your face. So
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that. And not to get too sappy, but I'm thankful for you, Sarah, and the listeners of this show. Like, there are a lot of places out there like that people can go listen to podcasts about disc golf. And so I'm grateful that people come to our show every week, or at least some people come every week, and let us into their ears and listen to our banter and hopefully enjoy it, because it's been a lot of fun. So I'm
I
grateful for
totally
that,
agree.
and I'm also grateful. Let me just I have it, this is Monday night we're recording this. I have this bananas NFL game on in the background that I'm thankful for because it's like they've scored more than 100 points combined, and I literally mean bananas because the LA Rams are dressed head to toe in yellow.
Nice.
So it's entertaining. So, do you have anything else you want to add, sir, or are you good?
I'm good, but I want to put in another plug for our PDGA Radio Challenge. I believe for this month we chose Glow
Oh,
Golf.
you're right, we did. And I went and played, and I
Yeah.
need to post.
Did you? Okay, cool.
I did. It was
There's
a
lots of
blast.
Glow Golf opportunities around here. And I actually cheated on you with another podcast earlier tonight, and it's a local,
Wow.
if you're interested in local Music City disc golf, Nashville disc golf, check it out. So I think it's just called Music City Disc Golf Podcast, maybe.
Okay.
But Sean and I were just
I'll
on it,
give him
and
a
they were talking
plug.
about all these. Yeah, I gave our podcast a plug. I talked about it, so why not just cross promote?
Oh, yeah.
But we were talking about Glow Golf, and I was like, man, I haven't done that in years. I should probably get out. So yeah, so get out, play some golf in the dark, and take some pictures or videos somehow,
Yeah.
and then
I
post
just
it to
took a picture of the
Instagram.
lights that were out of my bag. It wasn't anything
Okay,
fancy.
perfect.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so.
just make sure to use the hashtag PDGA Radio Challenge. That way we can find you and you may be chosen to receive a gift from Steve.
Exactly. And if I haven't sent you a gift yet, I will. Don't worry. I've got a couple.
Okay.
I'm literally looking at a couple of them on my desk right now. So I owe a couple
Perfect.
people. All right. I think that's going to do it. Again, Sarah, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Safe travels. We will catch up soon. I know you're going to be on the road next week, right? So we'll see what's
Yes.
going on in the disc golf universe. Maybe there will be a little less news and we can like chill. I don't know. But my
Maybe.
bet is there's probably going to be more news. So you'll probably hear from us. So
Yes.
until then, enjoy your Thanksgiving and be good to each other. For Sarah Lamerson, I'm Steve Hill. We'll see you next time on PDGA Radio.